Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is eternally true. Amen. Friends in Christ, is Christianity still viable? Now, I believe that most of us, if not all of us, who are here tonight, would answer in the positive. But if we ask that question in the world, would they say yes, of course? Christianity as it stands is still viable. Lest I be negative, let me say I think that I'm realistic when I would have to say that the majority of people in the United States today would say that Christianity is not viable. It is not taken seriously, even by many who belong to the church. Its teachings are too idealistic, and they simply do not address the system of which we are a part. It is really meant for another age. It is meant for an age where people are no longer well-educated, a age where people probably do not do too much thinking on their own. An age where they just listen to what somebody says who has any kind of authority at all, and they do it. Now let me try to illustrate this as best I can. And I've given you this little outline. The first one is that thousands of years ago, God gave to Moses 10 commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery is one of them. On Tuesday of this week, on Manhattan, there were several groups of people who were passing out condoms. Condoms, especially to young men between the ages of 15 and 21. Right in Manhattan. It's only a matter of time, I'm sure, before it comes here. But it's there now. On Manhattan, there are hundreds of churches, I'm sure. I have attended church there in many different places. It is on Manhattan that we have had some of the great orators of the church. For example, Fulton Sheen preached on a regular basis at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And I'm sure the bishop preached many times on that subject, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you go down the road a little ways, you come to Riverside. Riverside, where you had the silver tongue orator by the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. And I'm sure that Fosdick preached more than one sermon on the theme, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you went to Christ Methodist Church, there you could have heard in years gone by Ralph Stockman. Ralph Stockman, who was probably one of the greatest preachers that America has ever known from that one denomination. And you can be sure that he talked a great deal about the needs of high morals, such as thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you'd gone a little bit further, you'd have had a man who probably did not have the theological background that the rest of them had, but certainly the popular appeal, Norman Vincent Peale, with his power of positive thinking. And you can be sure that the good doctor talked often to the people who worshipped at Marble Collegiate Church on the importance of the Ten Commandments, and not least, thou shalt not commit adultery. And yet, in the very area where these churches are located, where the Word of God has been expounded by the best orators that the world has ever known, outside there are people today who are passing out the condoms. And if you ask them, do you really think this is right? Might you not be enticing some of these people into sexual activity outside of marriage? Do you believe that that is acceptable, that kind of behavior? And is it for us in America today to teach this? I'm pretty sure that those who are passing out the condoms would have said, if those people living in those ivory palaces known as the churches and the cathedral want to communicate with us, they've got to get off their high pedestal and do away with their Victorian ethic in order that they can communicate to us where we are. Because whether you like it or not in this world, sex outside of marriage is here to stay, and we better practice safe sex. Is Christianity viable? I don't think so. Not to that crowd. It is to you and me. Our Lord Jesus Christ came along and he gave that great word, love your enemies. And the world looks at it and says, well, that was nice for Jesus. And I think that he did it. He really did it. He even let them put him on the cross. But look what happened to him. Do you think that we ought to follow that pattern? It isn't even good for you psychologically to love your enemy. Love those who are your friends, to be sure. Tolerate your enemies at the very best, but don't let any of them walk all over you, and they will if they have a chance. Christianity viable? And now tonight, we come to this little gem. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is that practical? Does that really speak to our day? Give thanks to God for all things, no matter what they are? And the man again, perhaps, or the woman would say, you're just pounding the air. People are not going to listen to this kind of stuff. Give thanks to God for all things. We'll thank God for the good things, especially as we think along the line of the general. What do we thank God for tonight? I catch myself. I thank God for family, for friends, for health, for food, for clothing, for shelter. And we should. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you ever go any further, friend? I'm sure you do. Where you take something specific and you thank God for that. This morning we had a good time with that in our staff meeting for about a half an hour. I suggested that we all think of something, and we didn't have time for all, but several came forth. What specific thing are you thankful for tonight? I would suggest that before you go to bed tonight, you write down on a piece of paper, or you say to your loved one, this is what I am thankful for tonight. What is there in your life? What is it since we had Thanksgiving last that God has really blessed you with? What is it specific? Could it be that you had a new baby? That you got married? I can see some of the newlyweds around here. Not a bad institution either, is it? That your loved one came home from Desert Storm? He wasn't killed? That you became a Christian? Or that you were able to be used by God to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ? What is there in your life? I'd like to get you loosened up a little bit. And I'll give you a start. I'm thankful for two specific things. I'm thankful for a broken leg. It wasn't my broken leg, but one of our little grandchildren had a broken leg. And they were ready to put a cast on him when the doctor said, no, I think we better wait. We aren't sure that it's broken. It may be something else. And boy, the wheels began to turn. I tell you, they turned. And I began to have all kinds of thoughts. And I wondered what was in stake for that little fellow that I love so much. And then we had to wait because the MRI is only here on certain days, you know. So we waited and waited and waited until the MRI came. And then we got the news. It's just a broken leg. And when my wife called me at the office and told me it was just a broken leg, you know what I did? I got down on my knees. And I said, thank you, God, for a broken leg. Did you ever pray thanking God for a broken leg? It's important, people. You know another thing? I'm thankful to God for a person who is so influential in our society, who came to faith in Jesus Christ in this church, and grows today in his relationship with the Lord. That's specific. What do you thank God for? See, this is Thanksgiving. Something specific. Yes, food, clothing, health, shelter, and all the rest, of course. But that one thing that is really specific. Think about it. Talk about it. Pray about it in your family circle tomorrow. Well, I don't think the world would say that that's wrong. It's viable there. But what about the difficult days? In all things, be thankful. Does this make sense? Isn't it naive? Isn't it unrealistic? When I read Tuesday morning's paper, Tuesday this past week, I wondered what kind of a Thanksgiving Mrs. Murray in Ames is having. You recall what the Register said? Alice Murray watched her husband die Saturday, made the funeral arrangements Sunday, and was awakened at 5:30 a.m. on Monday with news that would replace her grief, I doubt that, with joy. Her son-in-law, Thomas Sutherland, would be released after 2,352 days, or six and a half years, as a hostage in Beirut, Lebanon. So began a whirlwind, emotional-laden day for the Murray family. A day of measuring loss and gain, of dealing with sadness and happiness, of preparing for a funeral as well as a homecoming. That's what Paul means, and all things give thanks. Can you do that? Life is an emotional roller coaster. People are born and people die. People become your friends and people become your enemies. You are blessed with health and tomorrow you have sickness. It is in the midst of this turmoil, friend, that the text is telling us on this Thanksgiving Eve, in all things, give thanks. Do you know how Martin Luther King Sr., not Junior, Sr., the old father, interpreted that? Thank God for what is left. Thank God for what is left. Henry Mitchell, the great Southern preacher, said that he went into Ebenezer Church one Sunday morning where Martin Luther King Sr. was preaching. And he listened to the old man, and the old man said, my mother always taught me, thank God for what is left. Because if you have enough breath to complain, you've got something left. Kind of true, isn't it? If you've got enough breath to complain, you've got something left. Dr. King had lost two sons, A.D. and Martin Luther King Jr. It was in that very sanctuary where he said these words that he saw before his very eyes his wife shot on the organ bench by one who hated. And King got up and said, thank God for what is left. There is always enough left in life to make it worth living. And I think that's what we need to take home with us tonight. Thank God for what is left. That's what you heard David and Denise say. Thank God for what is left. There's always something left. And you heard him tonight when the prognosis, at least for these two people, is very good, not so good for her father. But I watched them thank God for what was left when it was not good. Can we do that? Then we understand what Thanksgiving is all about. It's that kind of a thankful spirit that'll make you a healthy person. I don't think we got very much choice, people. Because if we don't thank God for what is left, we're going to wallow in our self-pity, which leads us to bitterness, which leads us to anger. And that's no good. And I close then with that story that I read just a few days ago, that a man who was in great distress went outside. He had lost his wife and two children in an automobile accident. His son had come to visit him, and he didn't know what to say. And finally, he said, let's take a walk. So they went outdoors, and he says, what do you see? And the fellow said, well, I don't see anything. It's dark. And then he said, look up. And he looked up. And then he asked, what do you see? And he said, I see the stars shining, sending forth their light. And then his friend said to him, that's what I've come to tell you. God's light is best seen in the darkness. Thank God for what is left. We'll do that. It'll not only be tomorrow, there'll be a great day, but every day will be Thanksgiving. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. Started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.